بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Today we finished off the 16th juz, which includes the end portion of Surah Kahf. It includes Surah Maryam and the entirety of Surah Taha. The beginning of the 16th juz is continuing the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam. Just very quickly, Musa alayhi salam went on a journey with Khidr alayhi salam, where Khidr alayhi salam showed Musa alayhi salam that there are certain things that are even beyond his knowledge. He showed him, for example, that while they were on a boat, Khidr alayhi salam began to rip off the planks and the board from the actual boat. So Musa alayhi salam became shocked why he did it. And he told him the reason later, he told him the reason he did it was because there was a king that was taking all the good boats. So he made this boat faulty and with some fault in it, so that way the king wouldn't take it. Khidr alayhi salam also took the life of a very small, young, innocent boy. Musa alayhi salam being confused that why did this happen? Khidr alayhi salam told him, the reason I did this was because this boy Allah knew beforehand, this boy in the future would end up bringing his parents towards kufr. And since his parents were pious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy upon his parents. So anyway, there's one other incident, but that's not the point right now. So Musa alayhi salam learned in this that there are things that he does not have knowledge of. So one very important lesson also from the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two different orders established in this world between his creation. The first type of order is those that are, in terms of his creation, are those that are bound by the order of Sharia. This includes us and jinns. We're bound by the orders of Sharia. No matter what we do, we must also live our lives under the dictates of Sharia. No matter what story we hear, what information you read online, what anyone says to us, our actions must be in line with what Sharia says. Sharia is from the Quran, Sunnah. If you make it all easy, the Imam, the form of Zahib, they made it easy and put it into fiqh form, which is much more simpler for us to understand. So first one is the order of Sharia. Second is those that are bound by the order of the divine. We call that taqweeni, matters of taqween. This primarily includes angels and those creations that are fulfilling Allah's commands directly without being held responsible of Sharia. For example, in this story, Khidr alayhi salam killed that young innocent boy. That young innocent boy didn't do anything to him. He was going to do something in the future. In the laws of Sharia, you're not allowed to take the life of anyone unless they actually commit and act an evil act. Here, Khidr alayhi salam did it before it even happened. So in our Sharia, that would not be allowed. But for Khidr alayhi salam, that was allowed because that is the order of the queen, the order of the divine. It works very differently. And as we can see, there's always divine wisdom behind these matters of the queen. These divine matters, there's always wisdom behind them. But we are simply not aware of them most of the time. And it is not even our place to seek out those wisdoms because they are under the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know what they are, and they're not under the order of Sharia. So in all of these situations, the story of Musa alayhi salam, Khidr alayhi salam told Musa alayhi salam, there are things that he will not know. It's purely coming from Allah, and he will not even understand them, no matter how much knowledge he uses. So now, when dealing with this pandemic, we must make sure we keep both of these aspects in mind. From the side of the divine, we see that there are people passing away. Those people may be kids, adults, poor people, young people. On top of that, people are losing jobs. They're losing their homes. Some people are going into depression. And sadly, there are many cases of divorce that are rising as well. But at the end of the day, these are all matters Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined to happen. There is a wisdom behind all of it, and we do not know it. And maybe it's likely that in the future, maybe we will find out the wisdom. Maybe just in a few months. So that is the aspect of the divine. Everyone passing away, things happening, negative things happening to people who we think are innocent. That's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other aspect has to do with our reaction. Our reaction. That if we lose our job, if we lose a loved one, if we lose our business, if we break down and have some emotional state, do we commit sins to satisfy ourselves? Do we run away from deen? Or do we possibly even become angry, na'udhu billah, at our fate and destiny? No. Our job is not to look at the divine. We are supposed to run how Sharia wants us to run. Sharia is telling us be patient. Sharia is telling us pray salah. Sharia is telling us don't focus on the dunya, focus on the akhirah. So do not try to understand the divine, because that is not our forte. Don't mix up the divine with what Sharia is telling you. We are bound by Sharia, not by divine matters of fate and destiny. That is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that's how we should work with this pandemic. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this, towards the end of the surah, tells us about a great king called Dhulqarnain and the story of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. I won't go into it. Dhulqarnain was a king that conquered the east to the west. We have absolutely no idea who this king is. And that saying that it's Alexander the Great, that's impossible, because Alexander the Great was mushrik. He committed shirk. So we don't know who Dhulqarnain is. He was a pious individual who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But anyway, and then a few matters about the Akhirah are mentioned. Moving on to Surah Maryam. Surah Maryam tells us about the story of the family of Maryam radiallahu anha. Isa alayhi salam, Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, who was Maryam radiallahu anha, technically his cousin, her cousin. Other prophets connected to Christianity are also mentioned here, such as Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, and Ishaq alayhi salam. So this surah is overall called the story of Surah of Maryam, because her story is dealt with in detail here. This surah was revealed at the time of migration to Abyssinia, and keep in mind that Abyssinia was majority Christian. So Muslims needed to know their beliefs and be able to refute them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah explained to all the Muslims about all the beliefs about Isa alayhi salam, Maryam radiallahu anha, what happened with them, what happened with the birth, all those details are mentioned there about Isa alayhi salam and their family. In this surah it's mentioned that Isa alayhi salam spoke in his cradle. He spoke as a baby. Keep in mind, this miracle is only mentioned in the Quran. It's not mentioned in sources of in the Bible or in the Torah. It's not mentioned in those sources. Moving forward, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Zakariya alayhi salam, a miracle of his and for Maryam radiallahu anha, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to Zakariya alayhi salam and told him that, look, you're going to have a son, even though he and his wife reached old age. And when he responded to Maryam radiallahu anha about her having a son, even though she had no husband, he gave them both the same response. They were shocked. They said, how are we going to have a kid? Anna yakun li ghulam. They said, how are we going to have a kid? Zakariya alayhi salam said, my wife is barren. Maryam radiallahu anha said, I don't even have a husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the exact same response. What did he tell him? Kadhalik huwa alayya hayyin. Kadhalik means just like that. Allah's going to make it happen just like that. It is very, very easy for me. So now, right now, we are making plenty of dua during this pandemic. When we make this dua, we should remember these words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and have full yaqeen and certainty that Allah ta'ala can make anything happen. How will He make it happen? Kadhalik. Just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make it happen. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يقولن أحدكم, none of you should ever make dua and say, Allahumma khfirli in shi'ta. Oh Allah, and Allahumma rahamni in shi'ta. Oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me in shi'ta, if you desire. Rasulullah said, don't say if you desire. That's wrong. لِيَعْزِمِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. When you're asking something from Allah, be firm, be resolute in what you're asking. فَإِنَّهُ لَا مُقْرِيَ لَهُ. Because no one can force Allah to do anything. So don't say if you desire to Allah. Say, yes Allah, give me this. Give me this. Don't say if you desire when you're making a dua. So have yaqeen in all of our duas. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah tells us about the day of judgment, how Allah ta'ala will call everyone out and what their conditions would be. Moving forward, in one of these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, كَمَا أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَ مِنْ قَرْنْهُمْ أَحْسَنْ وَسَاثًا وَرِئْيَا. So I'll get to what this ayah means very soon. Right now, whenever any of us suffer from any situation, we quickly start looking at others, and especially those that are doing better. And one danger in this that we face in doing this is that if we start considering those people to be superior in certain aspects, especially in the way we conduct our lives, then that becomes a problem. In this pandemic, we are looking towards other countries and seeing what the things they are doing. Many people are even looking at Muslim countries and they're blaming them for the spread of the virus. They're blaming the Tablighi Jamaat, who completely complied with the government, for the virus. They're blaming ulama who are still allowing controlled jum'ahs. They're blaming those ulama who are not allowing online jum'ahs. They're blaming ulama about Quran, salah, about rulings of Taraweeh. And they're blaming their family members that may not be as cautious as them because their mindset is different. So we're looking at different sources and we're not properly thinking with logic. As a result, some Muslims have even distanced themselves from deen and from ulama. They have distanced themselves from certain masajid and musallas. Why? Because it has those ulama there that are backwards. It has those people there that are of this opinion. This, that. From certain people of a certain country. Some people are even distancing themselves from certain people of a certain country. Why? And why is all of this happening? Because non-Muslims were doing things differently. And Muslims are doing something which we're thinking is backwards. We should never let our appeal and looks of anyone convince us to look down upon deen, nor let it ever influence our judgment about people and sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah that He has destroyed so many nations before us that had, number one, خَيْرُ أَحْسَنُ أَسَاثًا وَرِئْيَةً. They had much more possessions, they lived in luxury, and رِئْيَةً. They looked very nice on the outside. On the outside, when you would look at them, they looked perfect. No disease, no nothing. They look really, really nice. So once again, let Sharia guide you, not the material success of anyone, especially in this pandemic. Take fatwas from ulama, do not take them for articles and news websites. That's not how it should be. Moving forward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses a bit more about the Day of Judgment and how everyone's going to come in front of Allah individually, one by one, farda. Then we are moving on to Surah Taha. Surah Taha is also called Surah Takleem, Surah Kaleem. The Kaleem means the one who spoke directly. It's talking about Musa alayhi salam because he spoke directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah is revealed to console Muslims during tough times in Mecca. The story of Musa alayhi salam really makes the situation easier for Muslims if they read it. In one of these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, فَخْلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَسِ طُوَى. When Musa alayhi salam was entering upon the area where he was going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the first time, he was told to remove his shoes because he was entering a holy valley. The Mufassirun explained reasons for this. Why did he have to remove his shoes? Because when he was entering the holy valley. One, they say, is to gain the barakah of that blessed valley. That's the opinion of Ali radiallahu anhu. That he wanted to gain barakah, he wanted Musa to gain the barakah from that area, so he should remove his shoes. Second reason that Mufassirun gave is to humble himself when speaking to Allah Ta'ala. Take off your shoes out of respect. It's kind of how in courts in the US, you take off your hat out of respect to the judge, even though religious people have an exemption. So the same way, taking off your shoes for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala was to humble yourself to show that I have nothing, I'm barefooted, like the way we'll be on the Day of Judgment. Number three is out of honor for that place. That's the opinion of Sa'id bin Jubayr, rahimahullah. Out of honor for that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, take off your shoes. So we should always have utmost respect for places that have been designated for deen or for acts of deen. Right now, in this pandemic, we are establishing a regular place to pray, salah, pray tarawih, and whatever it is, read Quran in our homes. And we should designate a place and also make sure, because of this ayah, that we give honor to that place. It is a way to humble ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and out of honor of designating a place solely for Allah ta'ala, even if it may be temporarily. So wherever we've made a place for salah, tarawih, whatever it is, keep it a bit more controlled and make sure you give it that respect. Try keeping this place free from worldly things, free from talking, free from business, free from work. Try only having deeni things happening in that place. Quran, salah, i'tikaf, tarawih, whatever it may be, keep only the deeni things in that place. That way we'll gain more barakah from that area as Musa alayhi salam was gaining barakah from the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the story of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun once again at length. We won't go into that story. One other part in this surah is in the midst of the story of Musa alayhi salam, after defeating Fir'aun, when Musa alayhi salam went to receive the Torah, what happened was his followers, the Bani Israel, they started to worship a golden calf at the instruction of a man called Samiri. Samiri made them do that. And Harun alayhi salam told them, he said, إِنَّمَا فُتِنْتُ بِهِ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي وَأَطِيعُوا أَمْرِي. This, we are worshipping this golden calf. Musa alayhi salam is gone. Your followers of Musa alayhi salam, what are you doing? Worship Allah. This is a fitna for you. This is a fitna. Don't do it. And your Lord is Allah ar-Rahman. So follow what I'm saying and listen to my command. And what did those people say? لَنَّبْرَهَ عَلَيْهِ عَاكِفِينَ حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ إِلَيْنَا مُوسَى. We're going to stick to doing this. We are not stopping until Musa alayhi salam himself tells us to stop and comes and tells us to stop. We are not stopping. We're going to keep doing this. So they considered this to be correct based on their logic. They saw a calf, it looked gold, it started to make some sounds that made it look like it was talking, they started worshiping it. And it was to the point that they said they would cling on to it, akifin, they would hold on to it. Now when Musa alayhi salam returned and told and asked Samiri that why did he do this when he knew it was wrong, he knew it was wrong. So what did Samiri say? كَذَٰلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. He said, this is what made me feel good. This is what made me feel good. I knew it was wrong, but it made me feel good. That's why I did it. In this pandemic, we are under an affliction and a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people dying throughout the entire world. There are people suffering economically and financially throughout the entire world. Their entire countries running out of money. There are people that are closing down their businesses. There are people actually suffering in this entire world. So it's a very, very big test and affliction from Allah. But at the same time, some of us are still into our old habits. We're sitting on YouTube for hours. We're watching movies for hours. We're still watching dramas for hours. We're watching shows regularly for hours. We're listening to music regularly for hours. And what's the worst from all of this is that because we like these things so much, we've convinced ourselves that most of this content is completely fine for me to see and view, and it's completely okay. The music, the immorality, the lewdness, the waste of time, the deprivation from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've convinced ourselves it is all okay. But truly, what is our only answer? What is the only answer we actually have about all of this? It's the same answer as Samiri. كَذَٰلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. It's only because it makes me feel good. And we are doing the same thing that Bani Israel did with the calf. We are نَعَاكِفِينَ عَلَيْهِ. We're clinging onto these things and we're waiting. We're waiting either some angel comes and tells us it's wrong or some divine punishment comes upon us. Let this pandemic be a time for us to analyze our habits. Let it be a reminder for us to analyze our habits. Bring yourself to Sharia, reform yourself, and fix yourself. If you have a doubt in your heart about anything, don't make logical excuses to make it a part of deen. At least accept if something is wrong. Then moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very nice picture of the Day of Judgment, many things that will happen. We can't cover that right now. It will take too much time. I would highly encourage people to see the last three pages of Surah Taha and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paints a picture of the Day of Judgment. One last reminder, once again, it's Thursday night. So everyone should remember two things. Number one is they should make sure they may send lots of durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll mention that same hadith again. That Rasulullah s.a.w. said in Abu Dawud, Nasa'i ibn Majah, he said the best day that you have is the day of Jumu'ah. And on that day, Adam a.s. was created, his soul was taken, then the things from the Day of Judgment are going to happen. And because it's the best day, أَكْثُرُوا أَكْثِرُوا عَلَيَّ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ فِيهِ. Make sure you send lots of salawat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ مَعْرُوضَةٌ عَلَيْهِ. Because your salawat are going to be presented to me. So we should make lots of salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this night and during the day. And second thing is, we should make sure we read Surah Al-Kahf. Umar narrate that same hadith again in Hakim and Sunan al-Kubra Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever reads Surah Al-Kahf fi yawm al-Jum'ah on the day of Jum'ah, then on the day of judgment he will have a light going from underneath his feet all the way till the ends of the skies. يُضِيءُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And it will enlighten everything around him on the Day of Judgment, on a day when there will be a lot of darkness. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all these tawfiq to act upon what has been said.